this time of year, it's inevitable that there's a certain amount of overlap in the readings between the Sundays and the weekdays, kind of some repetition, because in the Easter season, both on Sundays and on weekdays, we are reading from the Acts of the Apostles, meaning reading about how the Lord expanded the work, the mission of Christ in the church. And then in the Gospels, we're reading from John. So, for example, today's Gospel, John, end of John chapter 14, we're going to read a section of this on Sunday, the sixth Sunday coming up, part about Jesus leaving us with peace and about rejoicing that he returns to the Father. We're going to hear that again on Sunday. Then in the first reading, you might have noticed that most of today's first reading was last Sunday's first reading, Acts chapter 14, the part about Paul and Barnabas concluding their missionary journey and traveling back through the towns they had visited and then going all the way back to Antioch where they had started. And then they tell the home community that the Lord had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So we heard that on Sunday, which gives me an opportunity to share a little experience I had on Sunday. I had two masses on Sunday. One was in the parish, and one was a special mass for the Courage group. So neither mass was here in Anagrim, in Italia. And during the mass, I'm listening to the readings, and probably like most people, there's a whole string of names that don't mean that much to us, you know, Perga and Antioch and Pisidia and Pamphylia. All of a sudden, I heard the reader say, "We went down to Italia." Italia 500. And I forgot about it. Then the next mass, I was outside the parish, and the reader said, they went down to Italia. So we went down to Italia 500. So finally, I had to look up, what's this Italia? It turns out to be Italia, not Italia. And it's not 500. But this Italia, just to make a little reflection on this, this is the Word of God. So you can find lots of depth in every single word in the Scriptures. This Italia is mentioned only one time in the whole Bible, and it's in this section of Acts chapter 14. And it happens to be a town they just stopped off on the way back home to Antioch. It's actually a city that still exists, although the modern name is Antalya, southern coast of Turkey. So it's on the northern Mediterranean Sea. It's a port city. It's a tourist center. Wikipedia or whatever I looked at said it's the fifth largest city in Turkey, Antalya. And a tourist center, and probably there's resorts there. It's on the sea coast. But the only reason that Paul and Barnabas went there is because that's where you pick up your ship back home. So it doesn't say that they preached the gospel there. It doesn't say that they made any converts there. We don't know if there were any Christians in Italia. Well, almost everyone who comes to Mass here in Italia is not from Italia 500. I don't know if anybody is. Not one. One, two. So it's always interesting that not very many people from Italia come here. But a lot of people come here on their way somewhere else. So this is what you're doing. You're stopping at, you're going down to Italia 500, and then from there you're sailing back to Antioch, going back home, which is an indication of how our Christian life goes, right? We are on a journey. We're pilgrims. And we're stopping at different places. Some are centers of great devotion and faith, and some are not. Some are pagan cities. And that's all part of the journey. So, just a little side. That's not the main point of these readings, but it reminded me of it because I keep hearing this Italia 500 in the Acts of the Apostles. Well, let's go to this gospel. As I say, we're going to hear this again on Sunday. Jesus announcing at the Last Supper that he's giving us the gift of peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. It's very striking that he says this at the Last Supper, the very last opportunity he has to meet with his closest disciples. And it's also the first thing he says on Easter Sunday after the resurrection, when he goes there and finds them huddled in fear, and he says, "Peace be with you." Peace before suffering and death, peace after suffering and death. It's a peace that transcends the ups and downs of the journey, of our journey here. So it's not the kind of peace that the world gives, which disappears when things go wrong. No, it's his peace. Probably everybody who listened to Pope Leo at his very first address, right after he was elected, would remember that that was the first thing he said too. Peace be with you. Pope Leo, echoing both the words of Jesus on Easter and the words of Pope Francis, who had just passed away, was extending this same gift of peace. Peace be with you. And he seems to be clearly motivated, Pope Leo, clearly motivated to extend the peace of Christ to the church and to the world. It's a beautiful mission. But it starts here. It starts with Jesus, who gives his peace, who grants the gift of his peace to his disciples. And it's that gift that makes it possible to not be troubled or afraid. We have lots of reasons to be troubled. And we're not even living in a war zone or in a place where there's a natural calamities, where things are relatively peaceful here in Italia. But we have plenty of reasons to be troubled. And our brothers and sisters in different parts of the world have lots of legitimate reasons to be troubled and afraid. Think especially of the people in Ukraine or people in the Holy Land, so, or other parts of the world. How can we say peace be with you to those people? Because the peace Jesus offers is deeper than the peace that the world gives. It's a peace that remains even in the face of suffering and death. And Jesus himself is the example. I mean, this is the Last Supper. This is right before his passion. And he's talking about a peace that he wants to give to his apostles. How can he have peace? He has peace because of his union with the Father. And that's what he wants to share with the disciples and with all of us. So he says, okay, the ruler of the world is coming, meaning the power of Satan is going to look like it's dominant. He has no power over me, but the world must know that I love the Father, and I do just as the Father commanded me. How will the world know that he does the will of the Father? Because he submits himself to suffering and death. He allows the rain of death to wash over him, because that's what the Father wanted. That would bear the most fruit for the flock. And then he'll rise up and defeat the power of death forever. That's why he has peace. He has peace because of his union with the Father. Okay, so we'll be reflecting on this again on Sunday. But let's go to the passage from the Acts now again with awareness of this gift of peace, because we see this in practice in the case of Paul. When we heard this reading last Sunday, we didn't hear the first part, the part about him being stoned and dragged out of the city. I don't know why we didn't get that part on Sunday. Maybe that would be too disturbing. But in this daily reading, it says that there in Lystra, you know, where just a moment earlier, the people were hailing them as gods, and now the enemies from neighboring towns come and say they're not gods, they're demons, they should be killed. So we're going to put them to death. You want to sacrifice to them? We're going to sacrifice them. See the contrast from one extreme to another. And they stone Paul and drag him out of the city, supposing that he's dead. You expect Paul to have peace when he's being stoned to death? I'm sure he had natural fear, of course, and experienced the pain of it. But very quickly, because the disciples gather around him, I'm sure they prayed over him, prayed for his healing, he got up and he went back into the city. That's peace. That's peace in action. You would think if he could walk, he would get out of there as soon as he possibly could. That's what they did in the Antioch before, when they heard that they were going to be stoned, they fled and they went to Lystra. Well, now he got stoned and he went back right into the town, right where he was stoned. That's where we pick up the reading that we had last Sunday, where it says, then they went, they proclaimed the good news in that city, Lystra, Iconium, Antioch. And then Paul throws out this little announcement. We heard it on Sunday. I don't know if people picked up on it. It is necessary for us to undergo many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. It is necessary for us to undergo many hardships. Now, we put that statement, which could be very disturbing when you're thinking about people being stoned to death, we put it side by side with Jesus saying, peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives it, do I give peace to you. So on one side we have this peace which endures, on the other side we have this truth that we must undergo many hardships. That's to remind us that hardships do not have to destroy our peace. Yes, we'll have hardships. I mean, we live in a fallen world and we're fallen people. That's the reality of our situation. Jesus said to the disciples when he sent them out, you're going to be rejected. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to experience hardship. But he didn't say so what, but he kind of said, don't worry about that. Don't let that destroy your peace. Don't let any hardship, which is part of the pilgrimage, destroy your confidence in God. Don't let it separate you from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Don't let hardships or suffering or fear of suffering make you stop the pilgrimage. That's the worst thing. So that's what happens to Paul. Barnabas, they continue. They stop in Pisidia, Pamphylia, Perga, Italia. Italia 500, then they go back to Antioch. And they go to their home base, you could say. And it says here that they spent no little time with the disciples. Probably their intention is to share the good news with the people, but from the Lord's perspective, they also needed to take a break after that long, very arduous journey. They needed some time to recover. Okay. Now that's the first missionary journey. Paul's got to go out again. So it's not that he's not basing his peace on the comforts of home in Antioch. His peace comes from the Lord and from doing the will of the Lord, from being united with God in all things. That's what we're doing in our pilgrimage of faith. We are confident in the Lord. We have the gift of peace from the Lord. We know that we will face and are facing hardships, but that's part of the pilgrimage. So we don't let it trouble us. And when we meet troubled people, we have something to offer: the peace of Jesus Christ.